We'd like to welcome all of you to Sunday with the Skies. We just had a wonderful time of worship at Thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for the marvelous things that He's done this summer. Right here, right now, we're standing in a place that a year ago was not here in this form. And the only thing that we had between us and what's here now is prayer. And the Lord doing a marvelous, marvelous thing to enable this place to be here like it is. But more than that, not only did the Lord provide for the building of this place, but He also provided for it to be filled. All summer He provided, from the first day we started until now, He has caused this place to be filled over and over and over and over again. These seats have been filled many times this summer with those who have been touched by God and who have been lifted up in their souls. God has truly done an amazing and a wonderful work this summer, and we have met so many great people, and so many came to stay this summer. So many were touched at the morning devotions, and so many wonderful contacts were made. And so many four spiritual laws went out the door. God provided us, thankfully, 500 of them. And so many of them went out the door. And you have to understand, for those who haven't been to our concerts yet, we don't just hand out these salvation tracts. We tell people about them, and then we tell them if they want them to come and to get them. And so everything that goes out the door is there because people have specifically gone out of their way to take them. So I just thank God for the hundreds of tracts that have gone out the door, and books and CDs and literature that have gone out with them. But more than that, people were just literally touched by God, by God's presence in this place. We're just so grateful that He has called this as His sanctuary and made this to be His holy temple for this summer. We're just so grateful that He did these marvelous things. And more than that, that He has also enabled us to begin our Bible Institute this fall, which in the spring was not even a consideration. We weren't even thinking that we could do it. And then suddenly it happened. Suddenly it came about. And God brought us a handful of students, which we'll be starting with. And if you are interested, or you're someone you know, or your son or your daughter is interested, please tell them all about it. Pray about it. We don't start this year. We're not starting until the beginning of October, because we'll be on tour all of September. So there's still 4 weeks before we start. So if there's somebody who is listening today that would like to come, please pray and then come. Or come and then pray. That's okay too. Just whatever it takes to come, just come. So we're just having a great time of Thanksgiving here today for the great things that the Lord has done. So we're going to turn over now to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's see. Starting in verse 22. But before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, truly, truly, it is You that has the words of life. And we pray this prayer every week, but it's still true every week. It's true that only You have the words of life. And anything short of You speaking to us, Lord, just becomes useless, a useless filler and sawdust, Lord, that we try to eat sawdust. And I pray, Lord, that instead of sawdust, it will be the food from heaven, that it would be the bread of life, and that it would be You who would speak to us today, Lord. For my words will avail nothing, but Your words will bring encouragement and life. So we pray that You would speak to each today in their own language, right where they are, and that every heart would be lifted up. Please cause these words to pierce and to heal. In Jesus' name. Now we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is a master of smoke and mirrors. We have an enemy and an adversary whose main art and craft is to appear larger than he is. And he rules by intimidation, by bullying, by fear, by growling in our face. He is the master of intimidation and fear. And that is how the devil rules. That's how he rules. He rules by deception. Okay? He rules by deception. He deceives us into thinking that he is larger than he is and that he has more power than he does have. And he is so good at it that we spend most of our time cringing from him, and we have most of our despair as a result of thinking that no one can stand against the devil, that he is so strong, that he is so powerful, he is so able to harm us and those that we love, that we are in great despair because we think nothing can stop the devil. Smoke and mirrors. That's what that is. Smoke and mirrors. It is a lie. The truth is that the entire camp of the devil is powered by fear. The entire camp of the enemy is, the entire structure of hell is fear. Meaning that everyone serves the one above them out of fear, all the way up into the devil. Everyone in hell serves out of fear. They are totally intimidated into service. And like when a demon is clinging so fiercely, and it seems like we're wrestling or battling with a demon, and it seems like it's so tenacious, and it's not letting go, and it's continuing to harass us, it's not because that demon is so strong. It's because that demon is so afraid of going back to its master, having failed in its task. He's so petrified of having failed that he just is afraid to let go. Because all of hell is ruled by fear. So all of hell is ruled by fear. And there is no courage in the enemy. There's no courage in the enemy. What? Why? Because courage is a virtue. Courage is a virtue. Courage belongs to God and to the righteous. And there's no virtue in hell, and there's no courage in hell. Isn't that an amazing thought? There is no courage. Courage belongs with God and with the righteous. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, if we could really, really understand that, we would have a great advantage. We would be able to move forward with a lot more confidence. Now, let's turn over here to Deuteronomy 11, verse 25, where it says, "There shall be no man be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the dread of you and the fear of you on all the land on which you set your foot, as he has spoken." Okay? So the Lord puts a dread on the enemy. And this is not difficult for God to do. All God has to do is make the tiniest show of strength, and the enemy's heart melts within him, because remember, there's no courage in hell. So these people, these creatures, all of hell is operating only because they have to. They don't actually want to be doing this. They're just too scared not to be doing it. So when God makes a show of strength, their hearts melt away. And if we would know that and learn it, we would have a great advantage to go forth and do the thing which God would have us to do, which is to go forth and to take the land. Right? Just as he was instructing the Israelites here. So he wants us to go forth with power to take the land. Now, we're not taking the land in a physical sense. These people were invading a physical land. We're not doing that. We're not trying to upset a political structure. We're not trying to have Texas leave the Union so they can start their own godly empire. No, we're not about that. We're not trying to, we don't have to do anything regarding overthrowing a political convention. Where so many fringe groups, you know, get off on these side trips and these tangents. That's not what God needs us to do. God wants us to take the land for righteousness. He wants us to take the land for righteousness. As Jonathan Goforth went into China, he didn't go into China to overthrow its government or to set up a theocracy or anything else. He didn't go in there to change the rule at all. He went in there to bring righteousness, to bring godliness, and to bring salvation. And the result of him going in to bring a godliness and righteousness was that many of the generals became Christians, and many of the armies became Christians, and Chiang Kai-shek and Madame Chiang Kai-shek became Christians. And today there are millions and millions of Christians in China as a result of Jonathan Goforth and a small group of others who went into China, not to change the political structure of China, but to bring the righteousness of Christ. And the result that has come about is awesome. And if you want to really know what it's like in China, read the book Brother Young, Heavenly Man. Get that, and you'll see the result and the fruit that comes from simply preaching righteousness. So this is the mission that God has for us, is to go into the devil's territory and take it for righteousness, to take it for God, to go in without being intimidated, with all boldness, that as we go forth in his name, that the God will put a dread on the enemy, and the enemy will be terrified of us. Not that he's terrified of us personally, he's terrified of God that is in us. He is very terrified of Jesus. And as we go forth boldly in the name of Jesus, the enemy is afraid of Jesus. And we need to remember that, because Mr. Smoke and Mirrors, he's always making this huge display of how intimidating he is, and he's got the media in his pocket, and they are loudly bashing Christians and anything that has to do with morality or goodness. And it seems like, well, how can we possibly win this battle? Because you know, when the media speaks, it's as though all of the country is speaking, but it's not. It's smoke and mirrors, because God is able to put a dread upon the land and a fear of God's people. And the enemy will actually evaporate before the Lord. So, now, we have to. Okay, so this is our mission. Our mission, each one of us here and each one who is listening today, we have a mission, and that is to bring righteousness into our country, and to see the dread of God fall upon the unrighteous. But this is contingent. This doesn't just happen. There's a contingency for God putting the dread and the fear upon the enemy. And you know what that contingency is? It's found in the two verses right before that. In verse 22, it says, "For if you are careful, to keep all this commandment, which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all of these nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you." Okay, that's what we're doing. We are dispossessing a nation that is greater and mightier than us. All the power of hell and the dominion of hell is greater than us. But we are able to dispossess it. How? If we are careful to keep the commandments of the Lord and to love the Lord and all of his ways and hold fast to him. Okay? So this is our contingency. In order for God to put the dread upon the enemy, we have to have the righteousness of God dwelling in us personally. Okay? So we don't have to worry about the righteousness of our country. We have to worry about the righteousness of us. If we will personally surrender ourselves to God and cling to the Lord with all of our might, then God will put the dread of himself upon the enemy. So, now, what are we supposed to obey? What are the areas that we need to obey? You know, we live in a very... we live in a society of very cheap grace where, you know, all we have to do is bow our head and raise our hand and then we're eternally saved. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to change at all. Our youth groups are just like the world, maybe even worldlier than the world. Our churches are, well, it's just, you know, listen, if you don't know what I mean, listen to the last 20 messages. So we have this great carnality within the church. So that the obedience that we need, just pick the first two commandments. That's great. That's good enough. That'll do it by itself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the first commandment, I'm the Lord thy God, you shall have no other gods before me. If we did nothing but work on these two commandments in our ordinary, regular life, it would be enough to put the dread of God upon all of our enemies. That is enough, because almost every area of sin that is in our life comes from breaking these two commandments, so that we love all kinds of things besides God. We all do. We all love many, many, many things besides God. And God wants us to put away all of our false lovers. He wants us to put aside all these other things that grab our attention and steal our heart from him, most of which is all contained in the media. And you know that we focus on this a lot because we view the media to be the chief, the primary false god, which has invaded not only all of our land, but especially the church. So our media has captivated our attention. And it's become a pipeline of filth and perversion and unholiness and distraction that has been pumped into our homes. Do you know why? Do you know why so much wickedness is able to be legislated into the Canadian government and into the U.S. government? Do you know why we're sitting here powerless and helpless to change this legislation which is bringing wickedness in? You know why? Because we have disobeyed the first half of this verse. We have not clung to the Lord. We have not obeyed his commandments. And we have not held to all of his ways. But we have abandoned his ways. We have abandoned the Lord. And we have searched after other gods which we did not know. We have made all kinds of deities in our house. We have set up every type of worldly passion and worldly desire, worldly distraction, worldly security, worldly everything. And believe me, for you who are content to just watch, you know, innocent romantic comedies, anything that distracts us from God is as good as anything else. The devil doesn't care if you're strung out on drugs or you're just watching innocent movies. It doesn't matter. As long as you're not with God, you are powerless before the devil. You're powerless before the devil. As long as you have let something come between you and God, and your time is captivated by things other than God, you have become powerless. And that's why we are powerless as a church. We sit by, we see these dreadful things happening in our society. We see dreadful laws being enacted. And we sit by completely helpless to do anything about it. The reason is because we have completely and utterly compromised our lives before God. And not only we as a general Christian body, but our pastors have compromised their integrity by associating with all worldliness, allowing all worldliness to be in the churches, and not being having enough courage to stand up to even read the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. They shall have no other gods before me. If the pastors of this nation, these two nations, would stand up and say just that, it would be enough to convict people's hearts, because we have so many false gods before him. We need to be brave. We need to be courageous. We need to address these things. If we're going to have any effectiveness, we have to come to grips with the fact that we have broken the covenant of God by not obeying him, nor clinging to him, nor holding to all of his ways. We have broken his covenant, and the result of it is that God has put the dread of the enemy on us, so that we are filled with dread. So we are filled with trembling. So we are filled with intimidation. And all the Christians across this land are trembling, and they're afraid because they see these things happening before their eyes, and they can't seem to stop them. And it's because God has put a dread on us. He's true to his covenant, and he doesn't break his covenant. And when we disregard him, then he allows the consequences to come, like he says in verse 27. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse will come on you if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today. So we see that what has come upon us is already clearly written out in Scripture, and it's to be expected. So now, if we want to begin to rise up, if we want to start seeing the power of God, if we want to start invading the devil's territory, we want to start to see righteousness restored to our land, if we want to start to see our families being restored, we have to deal with our personal compromises. We have to deal. Now, I'm going to tell you something very interesting, and that is, when Israel was surrounded by armies of several hundred thousand people, and they were going to be annihilated and extinguished from the face of the earth, all they did after being starved for who knows how long, is they turned and they repented, and they said, Lord, we have broken your covenant, we're sorry. And as soon as they repented, God sent the fire of heaven down and destroyed the enemy just by the sheer act of repentance. They didn't even become good. It didn't even go long enough for them to become good. All they did was repent, and God annihilated their enemies. So it is with us. So God is simply looking for us to be honest and to repent. I'm talking to you pastors. I'm talking to you Christians. I'm talking to all of us. If we will do nothing more than honestly get on our knees before God and say, Lord God, I have not held to you in all these things. I have broken and transgressed your law many places. I have compromised in many places. I have allowed the loves of this world to distract me from the love of God, and I'm sorry. That's enough. That is enough. Pastors who are listening, if you will do that, you will be approved by God. You will be a shepherd after God's heart if you do nothing more than that. And you lead your congregation in repentance, and you will be amazed at how the reconciling power of God will be in your church, and the power of God will be restored to your church, and people will start to be moved by God, and God will give you messages that will move their hearts because you have taken that step of repenting from the compromise and breaking the covenant of God. So start. Start right now. Start today. Don't put it off. Every person who's listening, just do it right now. Repent of your compromise, repent of your worldliness, and see the power of God begin to revisit your life, and you see the freshness of the Spirit begin to pour into you, and then you will see the power of God start to be manifested around you and in you, because God is a covenant-keeping God, and as you will obey, God will put the dread of you on the enemy. He will put the dread of you on your enemy, and righteousness will begin to prevail. And again, God is not demanding and requiring perfection in the sense that if we stumble, then it's all over. No, He's mindful of our flesh, that we are but dust. All He's looking for is an honest heart, one that is willing to say, "Lord, help me to be good." That's all. As soon as you repent and keep a repentant attitude, you have been made the righteousness of Christ. It's enough. If you stumble 100 times a day and you repent 101 times a day, you are still the righteousness of Christ, and God will still put the dread of you on your enemies. So you see, God's not expecting the world from you. He's expecting humility and sorrow for sin and repentance. That's what He's expecting. If you will give God those three elements, God will marvelously and extraordinarily begin to manifest Himself in power around you and in your church. And I hope that there is a number of pastors watching today, and I want to hear from you, and I want to hear good reports of what God is starting to do in your church because of following God's way and repenting of these things. And then you'll have to put them out too. You'll have to put them out of your house. You may stumble, but you're going to have to put the pipeline of hell out of your living room and out of your bedroom. You're going to have to cut it off, because you can't serve two. You can't serve different gods. You can only serve the true God. So you're going to have to make those steps. If you stumble, that's fine. But you have to make the steps. You have to make the step toward righteousness, and have your church make the steps as well. God will greatly bless you. He will greatly bless you. I want to read from Deuteronomy 20, an encouraging word. Verse 3, do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid, or panic, or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. As soon as we have that repentant attitude in our heart, God is now on our side. He is with us to save us and to destroy our enemies. That's all it takes, is that changing of heart. Instead of glossing it over, addressing it with humility, now God is on our side to save us. I want to just close with a verse that I don't know where it is, because I forget. I think it's in Ezekiel. But it talks about after the last days, when the devil is cast down, and it says he will become a derision, and that people will look upon him and they will marvel. It says that they will marvel as they gaze upon the devil, and they will say, "Is this the one who went forth to deceive the nations?" They will marvel because the devil will be cast down and all of his smoke and mirrors will be taken away. He'll be revealed for what he really is. Stripped of his power, stripped of his ability to intimidate, stripped of all of his magic and the presentation of himself, stripped of all these things, we'll see that he will be a very small creature. In fact, even his lowest minions will mock him. And believe me, that will be hell for the devil. And so this is something to just keep in mind, just to remember that we are intimidated by the devil only because we have broken God's covenant. Once we begin to adhere to his covenant, we will have a marvelous, marvelous power, and we will see the dread come upon the devil. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you have put us on the side of victory. Lord, we also accept and take very seriously the commission that you have given to us to go up and to take the land, to not tremble or be dismayed or faint-hearted, but to know that you are with us. We pray, Lord God, that you will cause each one of us to repent, and that you would cause each one of us to do our job, which is to go forth with your power to make disciples of all nations. Grant your power, Lord, to each one who is here, and grant your power to each one who is watching from afar, that your power would be in us, that you would raise up a mighty and a wondrous army, full of power, full of joy, and full of good works, that you might be pleased, that righteousness might increase, and that your government would be enlarged. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us today, wherever you are. And if you have prayer needs or if you have anything you'd like to share, please don't hesitate to contact us at unashamedforchrist@aol.com. And four is a numeral, unashamedforchrist@aol.com. Please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. And again, keep our Bible school in prayer for us. This is a great undertaking. We're very excited, and it's a big undertaking. So please, we earnestly desire your prayers. Thank you for joining us today.